a tough topic for me this week, I have to admit. Because one of the worst of all human experiences is that feeling of being alone. And there's a reason why this is a popular theme in all horror movies. Being in a really bad situation and being isolated, feeling that there is nobody to turn to, nobody to call out to, because there is nobody there to hear you, nobody to answer your calls, your screams for help. But it's not when a Freddy Krueger or somebody like him is threatening you. Believing and feeling that you are alone is an incredibly painful experience, particularly when you have such a feeling even when you are surrounded by others. And perhaps the pain of being alone is the worst when you feel alone because you have been abandoned. A few weeks ago when the quarantine started, somebody from the homestead contacted the Batavia Ministers Association. And she was very concerned, and she asked all of us to please have our congregations and the children in our congregations somehow reach out to the residents there. She suggested that maybe we could do an adopt a grandparent program and somehow communicate with the people that were so isolated now. People living in a home for seniors often feel lonely, and the current lockdown, because of the virus, has made things even worse because even family and loved ones are not allowed to get in and tell one another that they love one another. Adoption is a beautiful thing. What a wonderful expression of love and acceptance, right? Learning that you were adopted, maybe not so much. I remember very well, 5 or 6 years old, and my brother, my older brother, telling me that I was adopted. I wasn't, but he did a really good job of it. And I was convinced. And I felt all alone until my mother caught wind of this and cleared things up and really gave him hell, which he absolutely deserved. But you think about it. Many adopted children, having experienced a lifetime of unselfish, giving love from their adopted parents, sometimes still seek out a need to seek out their biological parents, a need to make that connection. Feeling alone, even when you are in the midst of others, demonstrates how loneliness and separation are very much personal experiences. To feel like you are on the outside looking in is tormenting. Have you ever seen a child lost in a store? And frequently people will gather around the little boy and they'll try to give all sorts of reassurances. It's okay, don't worry, we're going to find your mother. But it doesn't stop the tears. Until they see mommy, they are alone and they are afraid. And one of the most painful things that far too often is experienced by teenagers is when they are ostracized by their peers. Teenage years are difficult enough, even under good circumstances. To have your friends and classmates deliberately exclude you is about as cruel as it can get. I share with you that for a good portion of my life, whenever I felt angry with someone or I felt hurt by someone, I would put them in a penalty box. I would treat them as if they didn't exist. It was a hurtful, dysfunctional behavior that I learned growing up as part of my own family experience. And when I look back at all of those times that I did this, I still have feelings of regret and shame for doing it. And the really insane part of it all, and in order to make this happen, I had to isolate myself. So here we are. Today's message is, you are not alone. It's a simple message and a very inspirational, upbeat message. But in this talk so far, maybe not so much. how in the midst of all of these really depressing, contradictory scenarios that I have just been talking about, do you meaningfully communicate with people? You are not alone. All of us have experienced being lonely, isolated, separate, and maybe abandoned at one time or another. During those times, what words or actions could possibly make us feel better and make us feel connected? I share with you that as I was preparing this talk, and right after I asked that question of myself, I stared at my computer screen for a long time before concluding, yeah, I got nothing. So I decided this would probably be a good time and put it to rest. And then I did that and I went and took it to prayer. But on this topic, there's a long thread of sensitivity to those feelings of fear and loneliness throughout both the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures. There's a constant reoccurring pledge, a promise, a sacred covenant that you, we are not alone. There's a reference to this in virtually every single one of the books of the Bible, starting right off in Genesis, in which God concludes it's not good for man to be alone. And from Isaiah, we get, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice coming from behind you saying, this is the way, walk it. From the Psalms, we get, even if my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. And there are two passages from the Gospel of John that I want to share with you. The first one is very brief, and it says, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And the second one, which is so apropos with what is going on in the world right now, behold, the hour is coming. It already has come for you to your homes and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. But these scripture passages notwithstanding, we need to somehow to feel, to touch, to hear, to taste, to smell the Spirit of God in our lives in some way. We sometimes express that we are a human experience. But the second half of that affirmation is so incredibly important, so incredibly real. We are having a human experience. And the resurrection that we celebrated a week ago calls up to raise up until there is no distinction, no separation between that human experience and our spiritual self. All of those negative experiences that I talked about earlier, they all work to deny the oneness that not only do we share, but also is the very essence of who we are. Those negative experiences argue, they try to build a case that being alone is right, and what it is something that we rightfully deserve. They do this by pointing out all of our flaws and trying to convince us that we are not enough and there are things about us that just ain't pretty. Friday night, Susan and I watched The Phantom of the Opera from the series The Shows Must Go On that was released onto YouTube by Andrew Lloyd Webber. What a powerful, powerful experience. It was a performance that absolutely blew us away. But what caught my ear was a very simple lyric in one of the songs, because it really fit in with what we're talking about today. The phantom, who is cursed with a face that is really ugly and grotesque, and now has become unmasked, courageously sings out to Christine, whose love he so desperately craves, with the words and song, save me from my solitude. Many of the lyrics of The Phantom of the Opera give a poetic description of the hell experienced by human beings whose sadness is born out of loneliness and isolation. The Phantom himself could easily serve as the poster child for loneliness and isolation. Throughout his life, the world reacted to him with rejection, repulsion, and even fear. But his real aloneness was the result of his own acceptance as he became convinced of his own ugliness. It was the prison of his own mind that kept him bound in the thought of his own unworthiness. We all share in this, at least to some extent, things about us that have happened to us that we really wish were not so. We all have things that we are not that we wish that we were. We all have things that we try to mask, to cover up out of fear that those things and we will not be accepted and we will be alone. The list of such things could be miles long. Acne, gray hair, no hair, wrinkles, accents, skin color, religious beliefs, illnesses, deformities, even simple things like height, weight, opinions, politics, and on and on and on it goes. And I share with you that for most of my adult life, I did the dreaded comb over. But the really important thing here is that none of these things, absolutely none of these things in and of themselves can make us feel alone. If others choose to laugh at us, to ridicule us, ostracize us, be repulsed by us, and reject us, neither can any of these things make us feel alone. The only thing that can make us feel truly alone is if we allow any of these very common if we allow ourselves to become imprisoned, like the Phantom did, by our own thoughts of unworthiness. The world hands us a mask and says, here, wear this. Cover up your ugliness. The choice to accept that mask or to say, no, thank you, is ours. Any sense of being alone can be overcome if we open ourselves up and allow ourselves to feel what we really do know deep down inside, that we are truly precious and beautiful beyond belief. If we just do not mouth it, but really buy into the truth that we are beloved sons and daughters of God, and God don't make no junk. And yeah, it helps a lot if there is some human gesture, regardless of how small, maybe even a smile that lasts for only a second, something tangible that gives an amen to the miracle of you. But you got to be open to seeing it and believing it. Every week, I promote our prayer chaplain ministry precisely because through prayer, our prayer chaplains present that message to you. Years ago, when my granddaughter was very small, I think about 4 years old, she went for a service. And after the service, Susan introduced Ella to one of the prayer chaplains and shared that Ella was about to undergo some surgery very, very soon. And that prayer chaplain looked at Ella and told her that she was so beautiful and so loved, and that there were angels all around her to protect her. And Ella actually looked around, trying to see them. So the prayer chaplain said, "Ella, you may not be able to see them, but trust me. They are with you. They are there. They love you. And they want to protect you." If you really want to be assured that you are not alone, reach out to others and let them know that they are not alone. The past couple of years, my daughter Lisa has given Christmas presents to all of the family members, T-shirts and bumper stickers that simply say, "You are beautiful." These came from a simple movement that started in Chicago. The movement's mission statement is this: simply put, we want to make life a little better. And then they go ahead and they do this. Who are in mind of their everyday life and with no apology saying, "You know what? It's really, really okay to be human." Very early in the service, I played the video, "You Will Be Found." If you want to be found, if you want to discover the real truth that you are not alone, it helps a lot if you stop hiding. It helps a lot if you refuse to wear that mask that the world has been trying to hand to you. If you were stranded all alone on an island to be found, you wouldn't hide under the bushes or in a cave when a plane was flying overhead. In fact, you would actively jump up and down and wave your arms screaming, "I'm here, I'm here. Please look down, please find me." It may seem paradoxical, but the best way to be found is to reach out to others that may be feeling lost and alone. No need for dramatics or to jump up and down and wave your arms when you do this. Simply say, "I am here," with a word, a smile, maybe just a simple nod of your head to acknowledge them. It's that amen that confirms the miracle that each and every one of us is. Regardless of how long and how deeply you may have been feeling alone, you will be found. We listen and learn from the parable of the Good Shepherd, who leaves his flock of 99 sheep to go and find the one that is lost. Understanding that you are not alone requires a leap of faith and trust. I remember when my daughters were little and we were at the pool. I would be in the water and they were standing on the edge, and I held up my arms and I said, "It's okay, just jump. I promise I will catch you." They were frightened. It took an awful lot of coaxing, but eventually they would jump in. Understanding that you are not alone requires you to go into prayer and listen to that still small voice that tells you how incredibly awesome you are and how much you are loved. So now I invite you to do just that as we take this into prayer and meditation.